given your prophetic gifts, and also all the documentation for all the photos. So, as you saw, we did a staff retreat just to honor them and love them. We blessed on them and gave them teaching materials, ministering to them in word and prayer. We also did a service that we were invited to at God's Love Church on a Sunday morning. I was honored and blessed to be able to speak the message, and I brought a message on, do you want to exchange your that for his this? Releasing Rachel's healing water painting and the Fear Is Not My Future song. The team, we were able to pray over quite a few people, and they got through many healings and breakthroughs through that. As we said, the community food blessing probably was the one that touched us the most. God had put it on my heart to do another food blessing. We did it 2 years ago. But he told me, you need to have the faith to double it. Last time we did 125 people, and he said, you need to do 250. And I was like, okay, God, that's a lot. But that was our target. Initially, I had asked the congregation for $2,500 to help do the food blessing. Well, unbeknownst to us, just like here, their food costs have astronomically gone up too. And I did not feel right coming back to you and asking for more money. So I was like, okay, God, I'm going to give it to you. You know how much we need. You gave me the number, so you have to supply it. So I just kept pressing in for faith, and he did. You guys donated over $5,600 to meet that need, that we were able to feed not 250 families, but 300 families. And these were all elderly families. Okay, they had the requirement that we had put on it was they had to be 65 or older, and it could only be one household. So it was so impactful to them, as the chief elder really praised the Father's Delight and Joy for the impact that her ministry has on the Okalau. It was phenomenal to hear all of the different things and how she reaches out to her community. One of the things that was very impactful to us was while we were there, in their national news was going on, was we couldn't understand a lot of it because it was all in Swahili, but they were telling us what was going on, was they were discovering 100 bodies that had starved to death. Some pastors were encouraging him to fast to reach God sooner. This put a very much blight on what was going on in their nation and what the church really stands for. So when we were able to come and actually bless and love on these people to show them what's going on in your national news is not what God is all about. That's not what his kingdom is about. His kingdom is about bringing love and supply and meeting what your need is, and that's what we were able to do through you guys being able to help us do this. We were just the hands and feet of all of you. As mentioned before, God spoke multiplication over this trip. So we initially were going to do one kids conference, which got to two, which got to three, and then adding on the church service. But God up multiplied. And each time we did the conferences, we were anticipating probably 300 kids out of all the conferences. We had over 500 kids come to our conferences. You saw in one of the buildings, it was jam-packed. The kids were sitting like two or three on each chair trying to get them packed in. Out of those 500 plus, 88 of the children responded in salvation to the Lord. Now, 88 represents new beginnings and rebirth. And as the photo showed, each of the new believers were welcomed into the kingdom with hugs from Joy and I. Then we all did a prophetic act of them lighting a match to signify that they are a light for Jesus. We did do candles at one point, but that didn't go so well. They were too enthralled with the candle. What? also gave us a blessing in the breaks in the rain, because this was the rainy season, and we got a lot of rain. But when we needed those outdoor activities, the sun would come out, the rain would quit, we would still have to deal with the mud, but he gave us the break in the rains. And so I did get a little muddy. In wrapping up the conferences, the very last day of the very last session of the very last conference, we had a heavy downpour come. And we couldn't release the kids because of the rains. And one of the things that happened while we had to have another worship set unplanned to keep them in the building was I had the physical manifestation of inside the building rain on us. And I believe that was the pouring of the Holy Spirit out showing us he was there. So part of the theme of our conference was being powered by Jesus. Letting Jesus transform your life so that you could be a catalyst to bring change and transformation to your community. We use the rocket theme because it takes power to get into space, just as that takes Jesus' power and his grace to change us, to be like him, and to be that light shining him. You can be that one who brings change, who changes things. That's God's call for all of us. As Jesus powers you through his grace, you can be the change. One of those testimonies was, you saw, when we were delayed in Doha, we were supposed to have a 50-minute layover. It ended up being an 8-hour layover. In the middle of the night, after a 14-hour flight. And we met a woman there. Her name is Teresa. She was actually from Cambodia. She was raised in a Buddhist family. She had no idea who Jesus was at that time. She's never had been heard about Jesus. Eventually, she came to America, and she realized when she was praying to Buddha, Buddha never answered her prayers. So she decided, I am going to reach out and ask God. Somehow, someone had told her about God, about Jehovah. And she goes, when I reached out to him, he actually answered my prayers. So eventually, she became a Christian. She converted from her Buddhist religion and accepted Jesus as her Savior. In that, not only did she get saved, she told her family in Cambodia, and they got saved also. That's the transformation of one person. They are no longer Buddhists any longer. Her nieces and nephews and parents have all accepted Jesus as their Savior because of one person witnessing to her, and she be getting saved, and then she witnessing. That's that ripple effect that we all can have. We have many testimonies of the impact to a lot of the teachers and adults and also others of what God did there through us and the message that he gave us to give. I'm humbled and blessed and honored to have given God my yes, to let him use me as he wanted to dream big with him, to partner with Joy and the TFD ministry to bring physical and spiritual blessing to the community of Okalau through the conferences, through the food blessing, and other means. Becca, I skipped a point. You want to share about Mama Josephine? In the middle of all of these conferences, Joy got a text or a phone call. She had adopted an elderly lady into the Fathers of Light ministry and had taken over her care. They built a house for her, and she had a lot of health issues. While we were there, she was hospitalized. And Becca's going to tell you about what happened when we were invited to go to the hospital.
So what I do want to say before I get into that is our timing for this trip was critical. It was changed, and that was hard that it was changed from October to April, but Sandra heard very clearly what time the timing was that we were supposed to go. And had we not gone in that timing. Like she said earlier, I don't know if you guys remember, but Zach preached on how religion equals bondage. That's actually like a root of the word. It means bondage. And so what was manifesting over there while they were recovering the bodies of the people who had been starved, God sent in, which was the counterfeit, God sent in his real life, which was what? It was feeding people. It was the opposite. We didn't plan that. We didn't know that that was even going on. And a lot of the people there probably don't know what was going on. But we're recognizing that God used Bridge of Hope to bridge over to Africa and bring the real thing when there was a counterfeit. So the other thing was also the timing is that we didn't know we were going to be Heaven's Welcoming Committee. So first I just want to say Joy is not just a pastor over there. She is like a mama. And if any of you guys know who Heidi Baker is, she's a lot like that there. She carries like an apostolic anointing for rescuing orphans. But it's not just orphans like that don't have parents, the fatherless and the motherless. It's also grandmas and grandpas, women in distress. She has a call to all the orphans and widows in Kenya, and she really makes a big impact with that. So that short explanation of who Pastor Joy is, she was instrumental in helping run two large orphanages in Kenya. She was a cultural liaison for many missionaries coming into the country. She pursued her own education, completed her education, came back to her hometown, and started the Father's Delight Mission, whereas that's when she started running after the orphans in her own community. God does call us to go into our own community. So single mothers, single fathers, motherless, fatherless, all of those. So I think Joy had adopted Mama Josephine. I think she calls her Grandma Josephine. Maybe she'd had her a year, you think? And she was made aware that she, sometimes elderly people are orphaned because the people around them, they can be burned out. They can be tired. They can leave because they just don't want to deal with it, and they can be abandoned. Elderly people can be abandoned. So Joy saw that, took this mama, took her in, loved her like she was her mama, and then built her a house and just take care of her. She just loved her. She just loved her really well. Anyways, I think it was our first or second day conference? Second day. So our second day conference, a couple hundred kids, we're pretty tired, we're pretty worn out. And we got out to the van thinking we're packing our stuff home up so we can go back to the place we're staying and take a deep breath. But no, we came out and Joyce like, hey, we have this opportunity to go to the hospital. Here's some community time. Are you ready? And I was like, wait, what? You know how tired we are? But I was like, of course. And we got in the van and I started talking to the kids about how God uses the most the moments where we would like to say no, or they're like out of nowhere, and sometimes he moves the greatest in those moments. So we're like, okay, we're going to go to the hospital. And I've tried to stop and pray about how to communicate this to this body and still honor the place that we came from. First, it was a miracle for us to get into the hospital because they made exceptions. They don't normally let in more than two people. Also, I think they might have been nervous knowing that we were going to see what was inside. We weren't allowed to take pictures or anything like that. Our young people were, they were briefed before we went in. They might see some things. Are they okay with that? So we went in, and there was a three-part room that, was open throughout, and I want to say there was, 20 beds in there. It kind of reminded me of a military hospital. And so I'm not going to talk about the conditions, but I will tell you it took me 2 days to process what I had seen in there. So we went, and every single person in there deserves love and care. So that is something God wanted us to see. So we walked into the hospital. I had to tell my body to shut up. Nah, you ain't going to faint in here. You don't want to be in one of these beds. And so You know, I remember walking by the laundry room and thinking the laundry is pouring out of there, and I thought, they do all that by hand. Like, they wash all that laundry. But anyway, so we get over to Mama Josephine, and she was laying on her side in the bed, and I had never met her before, but she had been put in the hospital a week, a couple days at least she'd been there. Yeah, a couple days she'd been there, and she was there. I'm not exactly sure what all the reasons were, but they were trying to stabilize her. There wasn't money for her medicine. It was like $40. You guys, they can't even. So if you don't pay for your medicine, you don't get the medicine in the hospital. That's how it works. And so I see this little old lady with this raggedy blanket laying there, and I'm like, and she's got oxygen, but no medicine. And I'm like, okay, we're here to love her and pray for her. God, what do you want to do? And so, you know, we look like we're like a beacon, okay, because we're white. So we walk in, there's six of us, no less, with joy. So everybody, of course, is looking at us, and we're just like, okay, focus on Jesus. What does he want us to do to love this lady? Joy spent a little bit of time connecting with her. I guess she wasn't responding anymore. But when Joy would come, she would respond to Joy's voice. And so Joy conversed with her a little bit, and then I asked if I could hold her hand. Why'd you ask me to share this one? Can't do notes. So I held her hand, and I said, do you know who you are? And I whispered in her ear, and I said, you're a daughter of the King. The Lord said, remind her who she is. And then I saw a vision of her dancing with Jesus, and I said, you're a dancer. You're a dancer. God's called you a dancer, and you're supposed to dance with him. You're called to worship and dance. So we loved her, and we prayed over her. And we prophesied over her. One of the prophetic words is that we were going to carry resurrection with us. And so we prayed resurrection life over her. We prayed love over her. And as we started to pray over her, Samuel had a vision of her crossing a finish line and that she had run a race well. Is that right? Did I say it right? Yeah. And then kind of took a deep breath when he saw that, because I was like, okay, I know why we're here. I know why we're here. So I started praying over her family for reconciliation and forgiveness. And we were speaking life off of over that. And it was like I could see this like heaviness and this dark cloud over her bed. And we were there just pushing it back. Like, let the light in. Let the light in. Let the light in. And we prayed those things, trying to make sure I'm not missing anything. Sandra pulled her grave clothes off. I said, I see she's got to take these grave clothes off, and that's the piece that you're supposed to carry for this trip. So she prophetically, she's like, if I pull the grave clothes off. And we're like, okay, we did what we were supposed to do here. I think we were there maybe an hour. So the next day, we found out that Mama Justine had passed away. And this may seem strange to you guys, but I was just so honored. Was so honored to be like a welcoming committee for her, to be calling her who she was. And I thought, if I can, at the end of my days, lay there with people that are worshiping with me. We sang a song over her. What did we sing? Rivers of Life? What song did we sing? That one? Yeah, we sang Rivers. I'm sure we already stuck out like a sore thumb. I'm sure everybody was in the hospital was listening. So we sang that song over her too. But so it was such an honor and a blessing. You know, she was resurrected into her new body. And we didn't know exactly that's how it was going to go, but I wouldn't change it for a minute. It was very impacting, and God wanted us to see what was in that hospital as well. So The other thing I would share about Mama Josephine is that we got to spend a little time with her family. And after she had passed, we were able to go. Some people had come, I think, that weren't there before. And then Joy had put one of the daughters in the home with Mama to help take care of her there. So we got to go spend time with them and pray over them and encourage them. And then before we were, we left Kenya, Joy had to go do her funeral. All while we were there, like, we didn't know the timing, but God knew. So Joy went and helped facilitate it. She carries a lot, and she was carrying all of that along with the conferences and everything we were doing in her whole mission as well. And the prophetic word and the word that you speak is so important. And speaking, the things that we spoke over Mama Josephine and over that family manifested while we were there. And I believe that words that we speak are going to start manifesting that fast. So the Joy got in the van, and she said, with us, because she met us at the safari and drove with us. And she said, there's so much to share with you. And so I can't go into all of it, but there. She sat in the, she didn't say a word. But she walked in, and this man stood up and started bawling and asking the whole family for forgiveness. He said, we weren't there for her. And Mama Joy picked her up and dusted her off and took care of her. And we weren't there for her. And the amount of reconciliation and forgiveness that was over that memorial service, and that's the other thing, we prayed over Mama Joy in her bed when we were welcoming her to heaven. Was we prayed for the sons and daughters and her family to come back to Jesus. At that memorial service, some of her grandchildren and one of her sons gave their heart to Jesus. So big deal, staying in the timing of God, saying what you hear him say. There was a lot of prophetic words that manifested, but that's just a couple.
That was that multiplication that God added to for us to be able to do that. So that was an honor to have that opportunity to pray over Mama Josephine and to usher into heaven. We were able to pour into the lives of these children and the adults there the power of Jesus and spur them on to allowing the Holy Spirit to transform and change their lives, so that they could be the transformation to bring change to their families, schools, churches, and communities, wherever they go. As David said, he was very much impacted, and God put a passion in his heart for Okalau, for Kenya, and for the Father's delight. Deanna, are you ready to share? Deanna's going to share how she was impacted.
So just like Sandra, I just want to thank everybody who supported the trip. We all paid for our own ways, but everything that you've seen on that video, you helped support that. So you went alongside us in that mission trip. Even though you weren't there in the physical, you definitely were there in the spiritual realm with us. I didn't go on my first mission trip until both my girls were out of the house. I didn't feel led to go until they were both grown. That way I wouldn't have something to worry about while I was gone. And so this was the second time going in 2 years. And being in the school is a little bit different this year than it was the last time. This year school wasn't in session when we were there. But my heart is really on the educational side of it, going over as a teacher. And I challenge you to look into what the educational system looks like over in Africa, because you will see it is vastly different than that which is here. The children that get the privilege, and notice I said the word privilege, to go to school, take it seriously. The kids that go to school here, it's kind of a you're going to go to school type of a thing. And it's not really an honor or a privilege for them. We take it for granted over here. But those kids thirst for education because they know that that's one way to get out of their situation. And so when you go in and you encounter those kids who have that thirst to learn, but even that thirst to learn about Jesus, which is one of Joy's ministries over there is her school. She does get to impart Christ to them. She gets to share the word with them, but it's also shared in the public school as well. Something different from here. Kind of a learning lesson for us, I think, taking out God from the schools. It really shows what happens when you do that. Just like David, when you get bit by the bug over there, you don't want to leave. I could have done without the safari as well and stayed another day in Ocalau, whether it just be another day-long conference or just being with the kids. The kids don't care. There's no agenda. There's no conditions. They just want to be with you. They just want to hang out. They like to touch your skin. They like to play with your hair. Oftentimes, you'll feel somebody behind you touching you. But it wasn't an uncomfortable feeling. There's still ways that you can partner over there. I'm not going to go into all of it, but if you want to know how, talk with one of us. Maybe someday we'll be able to share and get Joy in with it, because hearing her heart really is what the biggest impact is hearing her side of everything. She's a little bit younger than I am, and I'm amazed by what she has accomplished. She is not married, so she has done a lot of this with her and God, his strength. And so, again, we just want to thank you all for partnering with us, because the impact isn't only for us. It was on those kids. And like one of the staff members shared, she was a drunk. She shared it at our staff retreat, and it was her kids that ministered to her, that got her sober, that got her in touch with Joy, and now she's on staff there helping. So God used us. He used our words with your help. And so, again, we just want to thank you for partnering with us. We don't know when we're going again, but we're ready to go again.
God gave Kendall a vision since we've come back, and I'm going to have her share the vision that God gave her.
Okay, I had this vision a few days after we got back. It was actually like a week after we got back, it was my birthday, and the day after my birthday, I got the stomach flu. And then I was like, so right, like the day after I had gotten better, I had this vision, and so here it is. So I saw this bridge that crossed over the ocean in the United States all the way up to Alaska, and we were on the bridge dancing and celebrating with the kids and teachers, and everyone who had been to Africa was there celebrating, like through our church, not like everyone in the world. God helped us build this bridge so that we could connect with Africa. We used this bridge to bring supplies over. We also brought kids over to Alaska and the U.S. to get saved. And kids were getting adopted. People were getting healed. The homeless were getting homes. The hungry were getting fed. It was a very cool. That's why we go over to Africa to build our bridge and make connections with the people. God is connecting us with Africa.
So I have one more key for you guys. God gave me prophetic words to speak over the children when we were teaching on identity and destiny. And so I would like all of them, and I'm going to speak those over you here, because it's a piece that belongs to you too. So I would like all the men and boys to stand up. I'm going to pray and prophesy this over you. So get ready to receive. God says you will be men of integrity. You will be men that of change in this nation. God has called you to run on his path and to be brave warriors for Jesus Christ. You will lead your families and lay your lives down for them. You will help change this nation and bring change to your cities. You are men of destiny who are powered by Jesus. Amen. Okay, women and girls, please stand up. God says you are women who are called to change this nation. I unlock the destiny God has called you to. Daughters of the King and spiritual mothers to many of God, many children of God, you will disciple this nation and bring change to your cities. You are women of destiny, and you are powered by Jesus. Amen.
Amen. One of the things I forgot to mention when we did the community food blessing that impacted me was I was at the end of all of them getting their food and shaking their hands and wishing God bless you on them. The fervor of their handshakes and the hugs that I got was phenomenal, and it was heartbreaking to me and very moving because you could see in their eyes, even though I couldn't communicate with many of them because they don't speak English, the elderly don't, they were very, very grateful for the food that we were able to give them and just the love on them. It was, I think that's what impacted us the most, was just seeing how much they were touched by that simple act of giving them some food. So I just thank God that we were able to do that. Our prayer is that the seeds that we were planted and the ground that was watered will bear much fruit for God's kingdom there, that the fires that were lit for him and the sparks will burn strong for him. We joined in what they were already doing, so our prayer is that they will carry on and build on it, and that it will continue to grow bigger and bigger. My prayer for you and I is that we will continue to give room and place for Jesus to be our Savior and Lord for each of our lives, that we will be inspired to be powered by Jesus, that the Holy Spirit will guide our thoughts, our behaviors, our decisions, our attitudes, and that we will let him transform our lives so that we can be an influence to others for God's kingdom, that he can come here in our lives and our community here. My prayer is that you will give Jesus your complete yes, whatever that is, whatever he's asking you to do for his kingdom, for this time in your life, no matter what it may look like and what it may entail. It may mean to go on a mission trip like he asked us to do. It might be that assignment, or maybe something totally different. Doesn't matter. Give him your yes. Let him use you as he desires to use you, and watch what impact you can be for his kingdom through your yes. My challenge is to each of us, myself included, is that we will be the change. Let Jesus transform your life and demonstrate that transformation to others, one person at a time, just like Teresa. You be the light. Let Jesus light you on fire for him. I think we all can agree that we all can burn brighter for him. You might be just a smoldering ember right now, or you might be a blaze on fire for him. But he wants to light that fire even more for his holy power. We all can have more of him. God's calling this house to be on fire. Friday night, we had a lot of prophetic words over this house about a fire around here. Last week, we were all prayed over to have a fire in us. Unless we as individuals are lit on fire, that's not going to happen in this house. We have to let Jesus transform us, to let his fire burn bright in each of us. We want to impart that fire to you that he's put in us. John gave a prophetic word while we were in pre-prayer. And it confirmed to me how Jesus wanted me to close this time up. While we were there, we were felt led to, as the children would respond in salvation, to light a candle on fire or a match as a prophetic act. I'm not going to ask you to do that today. But I am going to read out of the Passion Translation a prayer over us, and then we're going to respond. I have a song that God gave me for us to play. And it's to respond of a hymn, Letting Us Light Us on Fire. So I'm reading out of Ephesians 1, out of the Passion Translations, and this is my prayer. I'm going to read it as a prayer. Father, I pray that your glory, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, would impart your riches of your spirit of wisdom, your spirit of revelation, for us to know you through the deepening intimacy with you. My prayer, Father, is that the light of God, your light, will illuminate our eyes and our imaginations, flooding us with your light until we experience the full revelation of the hope of your calling, that the wealth of your glorious inheritance would find us, your holy ones. I pray, Father, that we will continually experience the measurably greatness of your power made available to us through faith. Then our lives will be an advertisement of this immense power as it works through us. This is the mighty power that was released when God raised Christ from the dead and exalted him to the place of the highest honor and supreme authority in the heavenly realm. Then, by constantly using your faith, the life of your Christ will be released deep inside each of us, and the resting place of your love will become the very source and root of our life. Did we hear that about already? I think Kim brought that. Then you will be empowered to discover what every holy experience is, the great magnitude of the astonishing love of Christ in all of us dimensions. How deeply intimate and far-reaching is your love. That we would all know how enduring and inclusive your love is. That your endless love beyond measurement that transcends our understanding, and this extravagant love pours into you until you are filled with overflowing with the fullness of God. Isn't that being on fire for God? Never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and to accomplish this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest requests, your most unbelievable dreams, and exceed your wildest imaginations. He will outdo them all, for his miraculous power constantly energizes us. So we're going to play a song, and this is our response that we can give to God. I'm not asking you to respond to me, but this is something that we can all respond to God, to have us, to let his Holy Spirit light each one of us on fire. Whatever he's asking you to do, whatever that yes might be, it's got to be him lighting us on fire. So, Ben, you want to play that song, please?
Around, I thought I literally could smell something on fire, but then I realized it was you. So, Lord, we just receive all that you desire to impart to us today. God, I pray that through us, every sphere of influence that we have in our lives that we come in contact with would never be the same again. That, Lord, as we burn with a holy fire, that the landscape of everything around us would be changed through fire. God, our families would look different. Our marriages would look different. Our children would look different. Our workplaces, our schools, Lord, just every place that we as burning ones touch is forever changed. So we receive, we thank you that we get to be a part of what's happening in Africa, each one of us in different ways, and everywhere else that you're sending your people, we get to be a part of. So thank you for this. Thank you for the impartation. We receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Can we just give a hand to the team that, yeah, is amazing. Thank you all so much. And I just bless you with an abundance of fire in Jesus' name. You're dismissed. Bless you guys.